Hello, hello. You are listening to Apricity. Apricity means the warmth of the sun in the winter. My hope is that this podcast feels like a warm hug on a cold winter day. My name is Sion. I'm your host. On Apricity, we talk about all things mind, body, and spirit. March has arrived, and with it, a whirlwind of excitement and change. The past few months have been absolutely insane. I moved back to California. I've made a bunch of new friends in LA. I released my first book, Talking with My Angels in the Bathtub, Poems and Practices for Healing. We had a book launch party at Little Lunch in Venice, and I got to meet a bunch of you guys, which was so cool. I'm always amazed when I meet you guys in person, how beautiful your souls are. It's just pure love when we meet, and this community is so, so beautiful. I'm so grateful to be a part of it. It was an unforgettable night. We listened to live music together. We had some free drinks. Some people got tattoos and piercings. With the book now out in the world, I am ready to pour more energy into the podcast. We are leveling up. We've got an incredible lineup of guests coming up soon. I am so excited for some of the people that have agreed to come onto the show. We have plenty of solo episodes planned for the coming months, and I'm really feeling this is a huge expansion era for me. A really big theme in this season of my life is healing the parts of myself that are limiting me from showing up in my purpose. I'm getting really honest with myself about how I am holding myself back and where I need to adjust how things have been done. But in order to even have that awareness of what I really want and what needs to shift, I've had to implement practices to regulate my nervous system every single day. If your nervous system is not regulated, it's easy to be stuck in patterns of reactivity and impulsivity. A dysregulated nervous system hinders our ability to think clearly, to make sound decisions, and really effectively navigate challenges or conflicts in our life. I just finished the book, The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk. I've tried to read this book so many times, but it really was a challenging read. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, because I am the type of person who feels like I have to absorb all the information on the page before I can move on. And this is a very informational book about trauma and how trauma lives in our body. But because there had been so many situations over the past few months where I felt like my reactions and my impulsivity weren't clear reflections of how I really felt or what I really wanted, I told myself, Sion, we gotta read this book. And I'm at the point now in my spiritual journey where I'm not gonna punish myself when I make mistakes. I just refocus my energy on where I wanna go and how I can show up better. And I knew by reading this book, I could understand parts of the why of what I was doing. I've really realized when my nervous system is regulated, I am able to show up in a way that reflects my purpose and who I want to be in this world. When my nervous system is not regulated, I feel like a shell of myself. Without a regulated nervous system, we can't be fully present. We can't fully engage and connect with the world around us because we don't feel safe. It is essential to regulate your nervous system to establish a sense of safety in the world, to feel stability. And by laying the foundation of stability, of safety, then comes growth, then comes positive change. So in today's episode, we are going to dive deep into understanding how trauma affects our bodies. This is so important because knowing the why helps us get to the how. we know why we're feeling this way, then we can talk about how we can work through that. I'm going to split this episode up. Part one will be, what is trauma and understanding trauma's impact on the body? Part two will be the role of the nervous system and trauma healing. And part three will be tangible practices we can use to regulate the nervous system. So part one, what is trauma and how does it impact our body? Trauma, as defined by Bessel van der Kolk and The Body Keeps the Score, encompasses a wide range of experiences that overwhelm an individual's ability to cope and elicit feelings of intense fear, helplessness, or horror. There are various forms of trauma with their own distinct characteristics and impacts on someone's well-being. So let's go through some of them. Acute trauma is single time limited events that pose an immediate threat to life or physical integrity. So some examples of this might be car accidents, natural disasters, the type of events that result in a sudden and overwhelming sense of danger. Chronic trauma, on the other hand, is a prolonged exposure to adverse experiences or environments that undermine someone's sense of safety and security. This looks like ongoing abuse, neglect, living in an environment that is filled with violence or instability. And unlike acute trauma, which is a singular incident, chronic trauma unfolds over an extended period. Both of these have effects on our physical and emotional well-being. Acute trauma can lead to flashbacks, nightmares, hyperarousal, whereas chronic trauma might lead to feelings of shame, mistrust, and emotional numbness. Something I found really interesting in the book that van der Kolk emphasized was trauma manifests in a lot of different ways. It can be somatic symptoms like chronic pain, gastro issues, or autoimmune disorders. This really highlights the interconnectedness of our mind and our body. I am such a firm believer that the mind, the body, the spirit, all of it is interconnected, and we can't just focus on one area to get healthy. As I've shared on this podcast before, I was in a pretty severe accident as a kid, and I spent a little bit of time in the hospital. The amount of stress my mind and body underwent during that time was probably the trigger for me developing Hashimoto's. I was in a state of hyperarousal. When people experience trauma, their bodies often enter a state of hyperarousal or hypoarousal as a part of the fight or flight response. And I'm going to talk more about the fight or flight response. The fight or flight response is not bad. We need it in order to survive. But the problem occurs when we enter a stress state when we're already in a stress state. The body might remain on high alert with high levels of stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline circulating in the bloodstream for longer than is necessary, and that's when it's a problem. For a very long time after the accident I was in, my body was fully in a state of fight or flight. I would have anxiety and think that I was in danger when I was in the car driving to the grocery store. And it wasn't that I was actually in danger, but the trauma was leaving a lasting impact on my brain. Trauma can lead lasting changes in our brain, particularly in the areas responsible for processing emotions and regulating stress. Van der Kolk talked about in the book how trauma can alter the functioning of our amygdala, the hippocampus, and the prefrontal cortex, which leads to difficulties with emotional regulation, memory, and decision making. And these neurological changes contribute to the persistence of those symptoms over time. So let's get a little bit more into what dysregulation is, what it looks like to feel dysregulated. I mentioned it a little bit earlier in the episode. Dysregulation is what it probably sounds like. It's when we struggle to regulate our emotions, and that leads to mood swings, anxiety, depression, other symptoms. We have a heightened sense to stressors, which is really hard to maintain a sense of emotional stability with. Those viral videos of people at the airport when they have a meltdown and just do absolutely crazy stuff. I always feel sad when I see those videos because I'm like, this person is not a bad person. They're just extremely, extremely dysregulated. An example that he provides in the book is a case study on someone named Sarah who experienced dissociative symptoms as a result of her chronic childhood trauma. And she talked about feeling disconnected from her body and having these periods of feeling spaced out, like she was observing herself from a distance. And this is an example of how trauma can lead to states of dissociation or shutdown, where people disconnect from the present as a coping mechanism. This sense of detachment allowed her to temporarily escape from the overwhelming emotions and physical sensations associated with her traumatic experiences. And if you're listening to this and you're like, damn, I have trauma, first of all, it's okay. We all have trauma. I don't think I've ever met someone who doesn't. And just know your body just wants to protect you. Survival is your body's number one priority above everything. And developing dissociation is an example of your body trying to protect you from the pain you're in. But the problem is sometimes our body's response to trauma might provide temporary relief, but it also can contribute to a sense of disconnection and alienation from your own life. So that brings me to part two, the role of the nervous system in trauma healing. The autonomic nervous system has two branches, the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. We need both in order to live. The sympathetic nervous system is usually referred to the fight or flight system because it prepares our body for action in response to perceived threats or stressors. And when it's activated, it uses the body's resources to deal with that perceived threat. These resources look like a change in heart rate, the dilation of our pupils, increased blood pressure, and the release of stress hormones, such as adrenaline and cortisol. We are ready to respond to potential dangers, whether real or perceived. On the other hand, the parasympathetic nervous system is often referred to as the rest and digest because it promotes relaxation, rebuilding, and rest. The parasympathetic nervous system counteracts the effects of the sympathetic nervous system, helping our body return to a state of calm and balance after the stressor has passed. When the parasympathetic nervous system is activated, it slows our heart rate, it constricts the pupils, our digestion is activated, and it releases hormones that promote relaxation and well-being. A good way to remember the two is sympathetic, fight or flight, parasympathetic, rest and digest. When the balance between the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system is disrupted, then the autonomic nervous system is dysregulated. Traumatic experiences can trigger a prolonged activation of the sympathetic nervous system, leading to chronic states of hyperarousal and vigilance. And when we're constantly in a state of trying to survive, it blocks our nervous system's capacity to function. This heightened state of arousal looks like anxiety, irritability, insomnia, difficulty concentrating. Something I learned in this book that I hadn't heard anyone talk about before was that trauma can also lead to states of dissociation or shutdown where the parasympathetic nervous system becomes dominant and we become numb, dissociated, or we feel emotionally detached in order to cope with the stress or danger. I personally have experienced all of those things, as probably most of you guys have. And it's awful. It's horrible when you're in a dysregulated state. You feel disconnected from yourself and the world around you. Understanding the interplay between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic branches of our nervous system is essential for trauma healing, because then we can target where this dysregulation is happening and aim to restore balance. So that brings me into part three, tangible ways to heal the nervous system. This is not a one-size-fits-all, but I wanted to share what I found from the book and also what has helped me. The first one we're going to discuss is somatic experiencing. This was developed by Peter Levine. It's a body-oriented approach to trauma healing. Somatic experiencing aims to release the trapped energy and the tension associated with traumatic experiences through gentle, non-invasive techniques. In these sessions, the therapist helps people gradually reconnect with their bodily sensations and experiences. This might look like gentle movements, breathwork, mindfulness practices, and guided imagery. Therapists usually use it in conjunction with CBT or EMDR therapy, depending on what the patient's needs and preferences are. Another healing practice is trauma-informed yoga. So, trauma-informed yoga incorporates elements of traditional yoga with trauma-sensitive principles to create a safe and empowering space for trauma survivors. Gentle movements, breath work, really just allowing people to explore movement, sensation, and breath in a supportive and non-judgmental environment. I personally found the most healing from yoga out of any practice in my life. It helped me learn to listen to my body's cues and develop a lot of self-awareness. Showing up for myself, no matter how I feel, helps me have a lot of self-trust. And I think a lot of people who have experienced trauma struggle to trust themselves, to even listen to their own intuition, to their own inner voice. Yoga allows you to accept that what you're experiencing is real, but also get into a regulated state where you're able to clearly process and clearly make decisions. And it has helped me so much with my recovery from disordered eating. It brings me so much joy just seeing what my body is able to do. If you're someone who wants to get into yoga but doesn't know where to start, look up a hip opener flow on YouTube. Women store so much emotion in our hips, and poses like lizard or pigeon or downward facing dog with hip circles can help you release some of those emotions. Something else Vander Kolk mentioned was the impact of the attachment in our relationships on the nervous system. He talks a lot about how secure attachment in childhood lays the foundation for a healthy nervous system and emotional regulation. For people who have not had that, he highlights the importance of repairing our attachment wounds and fostering secure connections as a part of that healing process. I had my wonderful friend Araste on the podcast, I want to say a couple months ago, I can't remember when she came on, and she put out a couple really amazing episodes that are so informative on attachment styles. I will link them in the description of this episode, but I think learning more about your attachment style and your caregiver's attachment styles and people in your life's attachment styles allows you to experience more emotional security and well-being and understand the patterns that are coming up in your life. Another tangible practice to heal the nervous system is grounding techniques and breath work. If you have the ability to go out into nature and walk barefoot, you will feel the greatest shift in your nervous system. Whenever I feel at a really low point emotionally, I will go to the beach and go walk barefoot on the sand. I won't even listen to music or a podcast. I'll just listen to the waves, look at all the birds running along the shoreline, smell the salty air, feel the sun on my face, hopefully it's a sunny day when I'm doing it. And it instantly connects me to source. It instantly grounds me. There's so many amazing grounding practices like progressive muscle relaxation or sensory awareness exercises that help us regulate emotions. And when I was experiencing the worst anxiety I've ever had in my life, I would do progressive muscle relaxation or diaphragmatic breathing or alternate nostril breathing to help regulate the autonomic nervous system and reduce those symptoms of hyperarousal, like anxiety and overthinking. And lastly, he emphasized the importance of community. A lot of people find the most healing in group therapy settings because they find a sense of belonging and understanding that helps counteract those feelings of isolation and shame that come with trauma. And by hearing other people's stories and witnessing their journeys, people realize they're not alone in their struggles and that their experiences are valid and deserving of compassion. And it doesn't have to be a group therapy setting. I have found the most healing in my relationships with other women. There's this really amazing quote in Dolly Alderton's book, Everything I Know About Love, that goes something along the lines of, "The greatest lessons I've learned about love have been in my relationships with other women." Humans are communal species. We are not meant to go through life alone. That is a huge reason why I do this podcast, so people feel a little bit less alone and you know that we are on this journey together. I hope you found a little bit of peace in this episode. If you could give the podcast a rating, that would mean the world to me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. Love, your friend, Sion.